It's tough when you wake up and there's you don't know anyone and you don't know the town and you're like, I have a lot of time to kill before this fucking show tonight. And you're like, I'm already in a bad state. Like, what's this going to be like in 8 more hours?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's like Rogan and Ari. That's why they started bringing people on the road with them.
Always.
It's like, why wouldn't you if you can afford it?
I would always bring your friends. Yeah. I mean, people always, I don't go on the road as much because I'm not at that level where I could bring people.
Yeah.
People are like, why don't you go on the road? I go, if I'm in like Dayton for 5 days by myself, and it's cold or something, I'm like,
that's what these guys.
12 degrees, I'm like, fuck this, man.
I remember Bird always used to be like, he's like, by Saturday, I'm suicidal. We started tour out in Denver, Colorado. I made the first one, but I did not make the second show. I met this girl there that brought about quite a big change. But I OD'd in Denver and I just can't remember her name.
Hello everybody, welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast. I'm the host, Ari Shaffir. And before we get to a podcast with Ryan O'Neill and Brent Tobler from Denver, Colorado, but before that happens, obviously, I know a lot of you are feeling uneasy, anxious, fearful even of what's going on in the Ukraine with Russia right now. And in these uncertain times, I found that most people go to the source they can trust for these things, which is the stand-up comedians. They turn to us to help understand the truth and help guide people through these tough times. And so, as a stand-up comedian, I'd like to explain to you what's going on there in the Ukraine. It's not what you think. It's not what's been fed to you. They tell you that Voldemort Putin is trying to take over the world. He's threatening nuclear retaliation for any interference. Putting the United States, China, in a head-to-head-to-head conflict to see who will be the superpower and maybe will end all life on the planet. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. That's the mainstream media. The story of the Russian invasion of the Ukraine dates back a long time ago, to February of 2022, in Beijing, China. Specifically, the Olympics. Specifically, even more specifically, to the men's aerial freestyle event, in which a Chinese citizen named, let me find this here, Gi Guangpu, easily beat out the next two contenders. Now, those next two contenders are where this whole story begins. It's a rivalry that dates back a few years, maybe let's call it 9 years for argument's sake, between one Ilya Burov from the Russian Federation of States and so forth, and Oleksandr Abramenko from, you guessed it, the University of Crane. Now, they went head-to-head in that men's aerial freestyle skiing event, in case you're wondering. And Abramenko barely beat out Burov. Barely beat him out. Embarrassing him in front of a mostly communist, capitalist communist, nonetheless communist, state of China. Now, Vladimir Putin was watching that day and couldn't quite take it. Couldn't quite take this young Ukrainian upstart laughing in the face of everything the Russians believe, which is that they are the second best country to China. Not the Ukraine. And the UK got in the way of that. Voldemort was seething while he watched the podium, seething at seeing his guy at the shortest podium. Voldemort himself was only 5'7". This brought up many issues from childhood and so forth. After that, it was a no-brainer. Attack Ukraine from all fronts, start at Kiev, which is a city, and move forward until you find this man, this Oleksandr, no E at the big, at R, it's just Oleksandr, Abramenko. Find him and have a rematch for the men's aerial freestyle silver medal. Burov was part of the invasion. He led the 13th Battalion. They did quite well, advanced, murdered many parents, so forth, so on. I think they burned a village to the ground. And the point is, he got deep inside all the way to the mountains in Ukraine where he was waiting to have this rematch. Now, what was not expected was the cowardice of Abramenko. hiding, afraid to put his silver medal on the line in exchange for a possible bronze. Do you remember Saturday Night Fever? Do you remember that? Do you remember what's his name did? The dude from Pulp Fiction? The gay one? Remember? He won that fucking dance contest, and he said, nah, it's not fair. Those Spics, not my words, Travolta's, that's his name. Those Spics were better than us. And it was only racism that kept them from getting first place medal. And so what he did was, he went over there with his first place money, and he put it right in the Latino people's heads. What I'm describing is Latino people's. He said that word. He put it right in their hands. And he said, you deserve to win. Now, as a Jew, the whole time I was thinking, well, at least take back the second place money. You just gave them your first place money. You exchange with them. Don't just give them both. It's one of the inconsistencies of that movie. Also, there's many rapes. Watch it again. You'll remember. And Abramenko would not defend and put on the line his silver medal for the men's aerial freestyle. And so Putin said, I'm not pulling out. And America's like, you got to leave him alone. They go, no, it's not happening. I point every nuclear arsenal I have at you, United States, at you too, China, even at you, Ireland. And those are the only three. Until Abramenko comes out of hiding and defends his fucking title. And that's all that's going on. This is not something that should concern you. This won't result in nuclear weaponry being used. Don't worry about it. Go back to your regular lives, worrying about what your friend's doing on vacation, if a comedian's tweeting the wrong thing. Go back to your normal stuff. This doesn't concern you. You don't even watch Men's Aerial Freestyle. It went fucking Chinese, Ukrainian, Russian. It's not our event. Don't even worry about it. Get back to your normal day. Get back to listening to great stuff like Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank podcast, hosted by a comedian who's going to appear in the following cities in the next couple weeks and months. From now until June, all tickets are arishaffir.com. The new arishaffir.com. Salt Lake City, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, Appleton, Wisconsin, St. Louis, Louisiana or something, Buffalo, New York, Louisville, Kentucky. Oh, they don't play Kentucky. Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Chicago, Illinois. Get tickets for all the shows at arishaffir.com. There's also going to be a New York date in there, probably in June. On today's episode, I got nothing else to tell you. Ryan O'Neill and Brant Tobler. You might remember Brant. He was on this podcast before. He's Ryan O'Neill's a very funny comic who opened for me in Denver. 9 fucking sold out shows. Never done that well. Fucking crazy. It's crazy. Skiing was fun too. So Ryan O'Neill, me and Brant sat in the green room. What we did is we just flipped it off. Like we used to do it with the Ice House Chronicles. Me and O'Neill started, and then Brant finished. He was emceeing. He lives there. You might remember Brant as a guy who tried to have his father killed. Yeah, listen to his old podcast on this. I forget which episode it's on, but just look up Brant Tobler. And then when he got done, Ryan went up, Brant came back on the mic, and then I went, and then those guys said whatever the fuck they want. I haven't listened to it. They could defame me, and I will allow it in the interests of defending stand-up comedy. Ryan O'Neill is also on my last 2 weeks of Patreon. He's on last week and the week before, and he'll might be on another week. Maybe I'll space it out a little bit, but go to patreon.com/Ari. And guys, don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you're listening or watching. I hope you hit that fucking, almost barf from my mouth, subscribe button. Let's start the episode. So all we did was just shoot the shit, just like the old Ice House Chronicles, where we had a bunch of comics there. Shot the shit, try to remember how to get on stage at the right time, and that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start. Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank Podcast, episode, what are you, 460? That's nuts. That's nuts. That's a lot of them. The Denver Chronicles with Brant Tobler and Ryan O'Neill. Starts now.
Yes, he'd rather be in Colorado. Yes, he'd rather work up where the only thing you earn is what you spend. In the end, up in his office, in the end, the quiet cough is all he has to show. He lives in New York City.
All right, close enough.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing, Ari. You don't have to sink it yourself.
I do not have to sink it myself.
Yeah. So
I'm noticing the crooked Crooked. Yeah, we do what we
it's
can.
It's the new style. It's just a new, little off.
Jimmy, the new style.
It's not to, what is it? Not to masturbate in front of your grandmother.
Jimmy, the what new style is not to use your grandmother's shawl. No.
Yeah,
wear your shawl and shut the fuck up.
What are you, Vogue fucking magazine? That's the great.
What do you know about style, you fucking old bitch?
You stupid cunt.
Yeah, you wrinkled old. God, he was good.
He was, yeah, I know. I hope I never see him do stand up again. Because it's, you know what I mean? It's not, you need that legend to just live as that.
As a legend.
Yeah.
You don't want to see. Taylor said this. He goes, everybody who dies, comics, but then like everybody is always way greater than,
yeah,
than what they would have been if they just kept going.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
People turn them into these heroes and like...
Dude, like, you're like, hey, could... It, and I love it because they'll show clips and you'd be like, yeah, they're doing pretty well. I mean, yeah, you know, they're all right. But it's not like... I never see clips where they're just fucking just hammering. Yeah. And they're like, they was a genius.
Yeah, that's almost always true. Bob Saget was one. Everybody was like, he was a great comic. And that one, they...
But I've seen Saget. You know, I was alive to see Saget go up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I saw Saget perform.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever do one of those Ice House Chronicles?
I did a few of them, yeah.
Yeah, this reminds me of that. To set it up, everybody, maybe there won't be no introduction.
I did a lot of them with Brody.
Oh, okay. Wait, oh, yeah, Brody did a lot of
what?
Them.
What? You're going for jokes. I was like, we're at the Ice House. We're
doing Brody. Fucking... There's 18 comics on here.
I know, but it's always so nerve-wracking because you're like, wait, am I up next? Who just got off stage?
Yeah, they would have to tell you. Someone would get off stage, tell you, like, hey, you're up next. So you're like, okay, but that means I got 5 minutes. Wait, how long? Did you get off and come right here, or did you get off and talk for a minute?
Yeah. I never did one of those Rogan ones.
Those are packed.
When he did those the podcast too. I remember hearing that he yelled at a friend of ours. He's like, dude, stop fucking talking. And I was like, I don't know if I would like to do that. Doesn't seem like...
Stop talking. He's like,
But it is weird. You're getting a mix of fucking people.
The problem is anytime you get someone like know Pete each Holmes, other. TJ Miller, or... trying to think of who else. Just like Miss Pat, they're going to command it.
Yes,
that's just their mode.
Yeah, yeah. So you I'm one of those guys too. Just because I just start talking, shit. You know what I mean? Where it's like, if you guys aren't like, dude, like we got to figure out a path to go down here. We can't just fucking do nothing the whole fucking
time.
Well,
you need a fucking which I don't have, which is smart. Some sort of script or like, what are we gonna talk about?
Yeah you gotta have. But then up right now people are going, you guys aren't fucking doing anything.
Yeah, that's right. You're bucking the trend.
We are bucking the trend.
So it's you, me, and Brant Tobler.
Yes,
Brant is on stage now.
I'll give some of this. Listen to this.
Get some.
Okay, that was a bad moment. It was a really bad moment.
And yeah, you'll go up in a second.
Yep.
Brant will come in, and then...
And Brant and I don't know each other.
Do you really not?
I mean, I know of him, and we talked a lot. Well, last time he was here, was that Thursday?
He's got money on the three-point contest.
Dude, when he came in, I saw he was watching gambling. That. I go, I know he's gambling.
I thought he was just watching. You but called
who,
it.
Who watches on their phone?
A three-point contest. Like, do you also, care that much about three? This isn't Bird versus fucking... Yeah.
He didn't put the phone down. He was like, hey, guys, how are you? And then he sat down with the phone right... And I was
right.
That's like, a guy with money. Something on the line. There's something on the line.
He's a legit Vegas comic.
Yeah. Yeah, like hardcore. Like he's not fucking around at all.
Yeah. He should have his own line of like, you know, Boveda now has one and Barstool's going to have one. And Caesar's book. He should have a Brant Tobler. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Know, laugh and lose your home or something. I don't know. There's something catchy there.
Lie to your wife and figure out how you're going to fucking have her not find out that you have a second mortgage now that you've squandered. Yeah, no, I don't. I can't gamble, man. I never got into it.
It's just like a loser's bet.
Well, you used to do it. You used to drive down to the fucking Hollywood.
That's okay because you're playing against drunk Mexicans.
I know, but
it was easy money.
I never saw the fun in it. I was like, if I want to lose $500, let's do it somewhere fun.
Like where?
Let's go skydiving. I don't know. Let's rent fucking dirt bikes.
I wasn't planning on losing $500.
Dude, I would rather just get on a plane, fly to somewhere for like 8 hours, go out to dinner and fly back. But yeah, you won.
Yeah. But also, like, that, did you break that even? Was never on the table. The tournaments, I always won. Online, I always lost.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know if online's up and up?
Like, it's not. It's for sure not.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't. You're going to lose your ass on
for
that.
For sure. The odds are against you. It was already you're playing against mathematicians.
Yeah,
like, I know. I'm getting a hunch, dude. A hunch?
Yeah. How do you know the guy doesn't have an algorithm running? He does.
He does.
Fucking fuck that.
Yeah, they're just
hey,
like forehand.
Hey, you fucking math rules. Nerds exactly. Out there. Fuck you. You fuck ruined you. Online gambling.
It was an outlaw sport.
And you fucking scientists had to get involved.
Fucking dork fucks.
That is true. Is that your jacket, Miami Vice?
It's not. That's got to be Tobler's.
Dude, that is unbelievable. That is a great fucking
great jacket.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's a great jacket. So you're okay. Anyway, what should we talk about? What do we got here? How are you liking Denver? That's good.
I really like Denver. I don't know if I would move to Denver, but because I'm looking for a place to move part time.
Are you really?
Yeah. I mean, the next like 5 years, I'm planning to like be part time LA.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What's gonna happen to the DNO? DNO.
I mean, come stock up on episodes. Stock up, but when people be like, hey assholes, this happened 7 months ago, and be like, yeah, I know, but we talked about it when it was current. We just didn't release it until
you just
now.
Gotta make sure not to talk about current events or do those wacky
we don't
news.
Really yeah
man shot a cockroach dude. Today in Wyoming, and nobody's gonna be like, that wasn't today, I remember that story, that was years ago.
Yeah, everything we do is there's no expiration date on it. He'd be like, hey, I found this story from 5 years ago about a guy who fucked a horse, and I'm like, all right, well, we can talk about that. Never goes
those
out.
Are evergreen that whenever you're writing a comedy packet, you've done way more than I have.
Yeah,
it's just like you need to, especially for like a late night. It's just so it's like, what's the wacky world news? What's the wacky world news?
Yeah.
And then you're like, if you write a joke for that, you can write it for the next packet a year later.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Your own packet.
They just want to know if you can formulate a joke. Doesn't need to be like the most current.
It won't be.
No, absolutely, it fucking won't. But also, it's also the biggest waste of time ever because
no one ever gets hired.
And also, they know who they're gonna hire. They just want to know if there's jokes that they can steal in there.
Oh.
They'll have somebody write in, like, if you come across any, then we'll fucking... But we already know, the big agencies already have people that are... We're on other staffs in there.
Mm-hmm. I heard Kimmel... Right, they're already represented. I heard Kimmel was looking for a new writer, and it was down to Aaron Lee. Remember Aaron Lee?
Yeah, vaguely, kind of.
Him and, yeah, anyway, he did our David Taylor catastrophe a few times.
Oh, okay.
Before Family Guy. But it was before Family Guy, and they go... he was, like, headline, and then the rumor was Sarah Silverman comes in and picks up Morgan Murphy's packet, and be like, this is the one. And they're like, all right, whatever, and we don't care.
That's just no good writer. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, it's like
it's a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot.
There's plenty of people that could do it. It's just you gotta know. It's all yeah. It's who you know.
I actually would be bad at it.
Oh, dude, with the last packet I filled out, I go, I'm scared that I'd get hired because this sounds like a nightmare job to me now.
What one?
It was for John Oliver, and I go, turning this out every day. Or even every week sounds like a fucking nightmare now.
Can you imagine writing for Corden? Where you have to do the fucking lamest, suck-ass, fucking corny-ass shit.
You're like,
and you have to do it every day. And then his director is like, this is good, but can you steal any of these from other shows and just repurpose them slightly? Yeah, that's really what we're looking for.
No, you have to... You're appealing to people who are turning it on to fall asleep in front of.
Exactly. I don't want it to laugh it too much.
I know. That's why those late night shows are hilarious, that people put so much energy. You're like, you realize people just turn this on while they go to sleep. I mean, it's discouraging as fuck.
It is.
Every night, those guys are giving it their all, and people are just like doing shit, brushing their teeth, walking out, looking at the screen.
It's just like morning TV. I know they have to do it for the few people who actually are watching.
Yeah.
But like, they're just getting dressed and packing their kids' lunches.
Yeah.
It's just on. Unless you have a break news, we just dropped bombs in Iraq. That's like, oh, what?
Yeah, but then they still go back to pack. They're like, oh, well, I wonder how that's going to affect my morning commute.
Teddy's still got
to
eat lunch.
It's not going to affect it at all, so fuck them.
5 day weather forecast came out for...
Dude, once you have kids, I think it just goes like, your caring for anything else in the world goes out the window. You're just trying to keep people alive.
Can you imagine a worse thing to do than have kids?
I mean, a lot of times, no. I don't want to alienate
said it,
anybody.
Said it was hard, and then once she had two, and the second one started walking, and then going different directions, she was like, "I'm fucked."
Yeah, well, you have to handcuff them.
That's smart.
Shackle the feet. Can you? Can you legally?
And then once they're in a dungeon, you're gonna start fucking them. You should be able to shackle them.
Well, because you know they're looking, they're all sweaty and horny.
Yeah, shit
looking.
All over the walls. You get turned on by the smell of shit.
Yeah, of course. You're schizophrenic, and you're like, "Let's fuck these."
And then they're gonna have daughters, hopefully, and you can fuck that.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Gotta go. First commercial break. Guys, today's episode is brought to you by this sweet fucking flight I took to Denver while I was fucked up on edibles. Edible THC. Delta 8 THC, to be exact. 3-Chi, everybody. The number 3CHI.com. They make great fucking these edibles. It's these Delta 8 edibles, which is not like regular weed edibles, but they're like close. Legitimately, they're close. But it's legal everywhere, so you don't have to worry about it. And it just does this like all over body high thing instead of like, I don't know how to describe it exactly. It's just different than regular weed. So 3Chi, that's the number 3CHI.com. They're making vapes, gummies, tinctures, oils, all sorts of stuff. Also, they told me, keep telling me to remind you, it's not CBD. It's going to get you fucked up. So be careful. It's drugs. It's a federally legal version of THC, but it don't. I mean, it's drugs for sure. So if you're looking for Delta 8, guys, look no further than 3Chi.com. And if you use the promo code Ari at checkout, you will get 5% off your order. So use Ari at checkout at 3Chi.com and get fucked up, you guys. That's what they're looking for you to do. That's what you want to do anyway. None of us are in this world to fucking concentrate. Get fucked up. Live your life. Thank you. Again, 3Chi.com. Use promo code Ari at checkout. 5% off your order. Guys, if you're over 21 years of age, well, if you're under 21 years of age, don't worry about this. You can tune out if you want. Definitely don't keep this in mind. I'm not grooming you for when you are over 21. But everybody else, I want to tell you about your kratom. It's home of the $60 kilo of kratom. Do you guys know what kratom is? It's drugs. It sure is drugs. That's one thing Ari likes. It's drugs. So maybe you're not even into kratom. If you're not, again, don't worry about it. But if you are, or if you've been curious about them, yokratom.com has kratom for just $60 for a kilo. So fucking get yours. The fact that they're giving away a kilo of kratom for $60 is irrelevant to you. Won't affect you in any way. Get back to worrying about the war or shit like that. Losing sleep over something you have no control over. But if you want to have a control, get fucked up on your own terms, get some Kratom, guys, and get it from yourkratom.com. They're great, for real. They're a good sponsor, and that shit it gets you fucked up. Do you know what Kratom is? It's just this, like, I don't even know if it's, I guess it's legal, or they wouldn't be sponsoring, you know? But, god damn, I almost passed out once drinking a little bit of it in a fucking soda form. That shit, it's shit's legit. It's like wires you and makes you. I just started spinning. I had to get a switch on a spot. I had to be like, somebody's got to go up. I'm fucked up. Like, on what? Kratom, dude. So go to yokratom.com and get yourself a fucking kilo for $60. All right, let's get back to the episode.
Carry the show, Ari.
All right. Tell him to come. Listen to
me. The best we ever did was a web series with Steve Ranzizi. Ranzizi will be here next week.
He did it. He did the introduction for Ranzizi. Who said he had to do the intro for Daddy Knows Best, the web series that Daniel should run over for Ranzizi? All right. Tell us again. Where am I going to be? Four Wayne. How are they?
They're incredible.
Yeah?
They're really good tonight.
Hell yeah. Dude, how is this club normally? Is it ever bad?
Well, you know, it's been because they're doing vax cards and masks, so it's really tailed off. And
tailed off what? What do you mean tailed off?
Size of crowds, and the staff was so well run before.
It's all new.
Yeah, so not all, and but. it's not all new, but so we're getting like, you know, like the turnover rate's crazy. When I first got here, the first two years
we were here for so long. Yeah. We're here. It was such a family.
And there's people. That's what it was. It was a family. So it's getting back to that. But you know, it's just if you sell someone who could sell tickets, it's crazy. Like it's because this is a night where they all know you. Yeah. This isn't just like a stumble in here. We need like a date night. These are like real.
I call it Fill the Time comics.
Yeah, these are, you know, real comedy. They're like comedy fans. So,
and you can make a reference. Like I started doing a joke and just references Tim Dillon.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, either he's that famous, or they all just know him in my crowd.
He's pretty famous now, but you know, it's funny. Schultz was the first one to do it when I was hosting here. And I was like, yo, what do you want me to say? He goes, you could just say my name. I was like, oh, okay, you're that dude. And I was like, nothing. He goes, yeah. So then I went out and I said it and I was like, holy shit. Same thing with Tim. Same thing with you. Same thing with, you know who else had it? Was the guys.
Hey, you don't have to hype them up.
The guys from Super Troopers.
Really?
Fucking.
Because they were there to see them.
Make
I love those guys.
Make the hair stand up Steven on your arms. Just like, you could tell when someone's like, when you say their name, they just go fucking
bonkers. Dude, I did that. We had a storytelling show. And just like, I figured surprise lineup. And mm-hmm. just the first comic was Shane Gillis. I was like, all right, guys, they're ready, first comic. And I just did that. I was like, Shane Gillis. And they were like, yes!
Yeah, it was. And Schultz was the first one to do it, and I was like, because you know, the old days everybody had a ton of credits, but no one gives a fuck.
And they cared.
Yeah, yeah.
Who gives a fuck?
I mean,
oh, this guy has a podcast. Like, either they know already, or they don't care.
Yeah. When I was starting out, there was times when I got lectured for having not doing all the credits. Someone gave me 3 or 4 credits, but I was a young comic just trying to get through my own shit. And then there'd be like, hey, make sure, I remember one guy was like, care about these credits like they're your credits. I'm like, I'm trying to worry about my 8 minutes, trying to get past at the club. Yeah. So, but yeah, on nights like this, when there's nothing like it. It's fucking, it's incredible.
It's the best club.
It really is. So,
this is the first club I did with Rogan. I'm like, I'm pretty sure the very first show. And like Mike Young called out sick or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he was like, dude, oh, he's killing it. I'm like, I didn't know. I just thought all the road was like this.
It's a cheat code.
Yeah.
I always tell people, if you suck here, you should just quit. If for one second you walk out that stage, you don't feel good. Because even on off nights, it's still great. Pretty strong.
I've had half empty shows here for sure.
But it's still, but on these nights, it'll keep you. I can't go to sleep at night after doing these 2 nights and you end up staying out.
You get bugged.
My girl's like, why don't you come home, just go to bed? I'm like, the adrenaline rush of these shows is crazy.
Yeah. What are you doing tomorrow? You want a feature? Sam Talent can't come.
Yeah. I'm in.
Fucking asshole.
Where's he at?
He just said, hey, Tim Dillon offered me a theater tomorrow, so I can't come. Like, what do you mean you can't come? You're booked 27 hours from now.
Yeah.
Cunt.
Well, yeah, I'll do it here.
All right, great.
I do any show here. It's like Red Rocks.
What does that mean?
I always compare. No. I compare this to Red Rocks. Like when I first moved here, people were like, you want to go to Red Rocks? I'm like, yeah. You don't have to tell me. I just want
to go to go to shows.
Go to
what
shows.
Have you seen there?
I've seen everything from, I'll go to anything from like DJs to.
I would love to see a show there.
Oh, you've never seen a show there?
I've walked it like daytime.
Oh man, you should. I mean, it's incredible. And you know what's good about it is that it's such a legendary venue that a lot of great bands will come through on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Bigger bands that'll do like arenas elsewhere. They just want to play Red Rock. So they have their arena tour booked. So if there's someone you really want to see, you should look at their schedule. And you could still work your weekend, but then fly in Monday, Tuesday,
early.
Wednesday.
Oh, smart.
But like I've never. Yeah, I mean,
John Denver said it was if you had to play one more show for sure that place.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know what sucks is they do a comedy show there where you can. So us local comics get to open for a movie.
Yeah.
So twice I've been booked, and twice COVID got me, and then one time snow got me. Which
did they
I was
cancel
like,
it for rain or for snow? They just go
not
like,
for
not
rain
happening.
For snow. Because I've seen some good concerts in the rain there, like summer rain when it's still hot, but it's like it was fucking just fun, and you're just fucked up, and it was just fun.
We just get soaked to the bone.
Yeah, just
that's
drenched.
That's
but,
great. That's
but
great.
Yeah, you it's should. Like, you should just figure out, go through who you want to see, and
they have shows in the winter. I pretty much only come when I can go skiing. Before
no, oh no, they'll run through like. It's pretty much probably March through like October. Yeah. But you could just come do like, even just do like an off-night storytelling show or something and just book it around that.
I could do that. You're right.
Just book it around Red Rocks. Because like, hey, she'll let you do whatever night.
Yeah.
She just calls
pretty
you her
sweet.
Boyfriend.
How do you like Denver?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it, man. It was it's the best. When I was leaving LA, I was thinking here of Phoenix, and I'm so glad I came here.
This is so much cooler than
it's
Phoenix.
Close for home. I grew up like 100 miles north.
Okay.
So I could still go home, but I don't have to be... I mean, I love where I'm from, but it's not really the comedy mecca up in Cheyenne, Wyoming. There's not much going on there. So,
is there anything there?
No.
What's that ski place? Jackson Hole?
Jackson Hole.
Is there any place? I asked my agent that goes, Ari, other people have asked. There's nowhere to play anywhere near it.
There was a cool old theater, but they just never did anything with it. Like, they tried. Like, people have definitely tried, but.
Yeah.
You could probably put together something, but. Because there's people up there. There's not a lot to do.
Are there people even up there?
Yeah, during the winter there is.
Array.
We do one over in like Cody, like an hour away. But it's just so beautiful up there. But that doesn't even count. Like, it's technically part of Wyoming, but it's not.
What?
You know, like, why compared to like California? Like, California's huge. There's like Malibu or like the good parts. That's like Jackson Hole. The rest of the state is like Sacramento or like
Stockton.
I love it because that's where I'm from. But like when I lived in LA and I'd always talk about how much I loved home, and then my friends would be like, oh, I want to go. I was like, well, you would fucking hate it. I only like it from like nostalgia
there.
From like growing up there. And then they're like, well, Jackson Hole. I go, well, Jackson Hole is like when I lived in LA, like Malibu was there, but I would maybe go there once to see what Malibu is, but it wasn't really a part of my LA experience, you know? It's just so much money up there. It's just it's not for like, now if you go to Yellowstone to the park is cool.
What are the drugs in Wyoming?
Meth. Meth's really bad. And
that's
then,
like the farmer drug.
Yeah.
If there's like farm area, then like.
Yeah, meth is the one that they do those scary, like, they do the scary billboards where they just have people that just look like fucking shit.
I lost
shit.
Meat to meth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what the worst one I ever saw? I was driving through Arizona and there was one that it was just a jail cell. Now this is obviously like 10 years ago because they could never get away with it now. And it just said, did you ever think you'd spend a romantic night here? ..
No way could they get away with
meth it. Meth will change that.
No way they could get away like, you're making straight, light of yeah. rape and homosexuality.
I was making a joke about it. Like, you're just saying if you do meth, you're going to get ass raped in prison. I was like, just say no. I'll just say no to that. But yeah, meth is like.
You're like, well, yeah.
Meth is bad. And then.
Also, they never tell you the full story. Chances are you won't end up there.
No, no.
You know?
Yeah, so we...
Or it's like the drunk driving things where like you're going to end up in a hearse or prison. And you're like, but no, I've drunk drive plenty and neither one of those have happened. Yeah. Like, don't do it, but like...
I end up in a blowjob some of the times, honestly. it was a bad decision in hindsight, but...
You shouldn't be getting blown while I'm driving drunk.
Yeah.
But...
But yeah, no, it's meth up there. There's not, I mean, coke a little bit. Like my dad was a drug dealer when I was a kid up there and he was moving in, but he was bringing in a lot of coke because the railroad goes through there. So the railroad, if you work for the railroad, those guys make a lot of money, but they're like degenerates. So they just want to, so my dad set up
spend it
in like the strip club there and,
Fours
and
too,
just
right?
sold drugs. Yeah. Just, and they get them, you know, get girls in there and, because there's nothing else to do really. People in Wyoming, they just drink a lot. And then you get a couple DUIs and you stop.
Shiza told me he worked in like North Dakota for like on like the mines or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was just like the oil rigs, something like that. And
he was, yeah, the oil rigs. Yeah, they got so much money.
They just give you so much.
Yeah.
Like 70 grand for 2 months. And then it's just like, spend it though.
Yeah. But they don't know what they're doing. They just all come back with like a big ass truck and then they fucking plow through that money. They don't know what they're doing. And it's shit work, man. I got a lot of friends that it was like a good bailout in Wyoming. If you couldn't really do anything else, you just go to fucking do this rig shit. That's why like in Rock Springs, Wyoming, which is a little town, probably population like I'd guess like 15,000.
Yeah.
Three strip clubs.
What?
But it's just because it's near the rigs. And then all the oil rig guys will just come there. So these strippers come in from all over because it's just fucking dumb dudes that work on oil rigs that never see hot chicks that'll just, you could just con
like,
out.
What?
Yeah. That you could take half their paycheck because they.
You ever get taken by a stripper?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I went first time with hookers. I got hookers the first when I was moving to Phoenix. We never knew what. So me and three of my buddies were moving to Phoenix, and we stopped in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
And we got hookers. We ordered two hookers for $800. There was four of us, so we each $200 each, which was a lot. And we were barely 21, so we went and bought condoms and all this shit.
That is a lot.
Yeah, and then these two girls came into the room, and it was like they just had the old. Like a hotel alarm clock radio, and they came in. We gave them the money, and then they danced for like a minute, and took their tops off. So we saw some titties, and then before we knew it, they were gone. You know, then they put their shit on, but they already had the money, and they were gone. The greatest hooker story ever. I won't say the comic's name because I don't know if you want to tell a story, but he finally.
Dude, hooker stories in general is one of those where like. Maybe I can't say
but here's
it,
the thing
but yeah, but what?
So when I started dating this girl in Vegas because when I lived in Vegas my boss used to buy us hookers when I worked for the professional gamblers but you just got to be honest because like on the second date she was like have you ever got a hooker this girl I dated for like 3 years and I was like no then you got to ride that lie out for the rest of your life
because
like,
she'll get mad at me if she finds
then
out
then your friends bring it up and I was like I should have just said yes but one of my friends I told him you know hookers aren't the worst thing so then he finally got the balls to order a hooker in New York. So he called a hooker and then like a big bodyguard came, like big black bodyguard came to the door first, knocked on the door and was like, hey, you know, the girl's downstairs. I just want to go over the rules with you. You're going to treat her with respect. You treat her like she, and gave him all these rules.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
And it was like,
I would love to treat her with respect.
If you do anything, just know I'm right downstairs. If you do anything to her, when she leaves, I'll come down and I'll just fuck you up. And he was like, he is so scared because he was first scared to get a hooker. So he's like, yeah, I promise I'll be on my best behavior. I'll treat her respect. And he's like, okay, that'll be $800. Then he gave the guy $800. He goes, all right, I'll send her right up. And then of course,
oh my God.
I thought it was the greatest hustle ever.
Oh my God.
Ever.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And he must be like, 9 times out of 10, they're like, no, I'll send her down with the money when we're done. Like, sure, obviously, I'd try to fleece
you. But this dude didn't know, like, streak. He doesn't, you know.
It's just one of those where that guy's coming down, he's like, hey, Jess, We're not doing it again today. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, I would do every time. She's not coming. I would do that every time. It's every just time. Like a free shot. But he, the sad part is said, he just sat there and he was like,
how long did he wait?
He was waiting for the knock on the door and then there's no knock. And he's like, after a while, he's like, then it hit him like, oh, fuck, they got me, you know?
It's that first moment where you're like, just when it creeps in, you're like waiting, like nervous, okay, and you're like fixing your stuff and it's like waiting again. It's like, okay, wait, you don't put the music on, you're waiting. Yeah. And then it's still nothing. And then it's like, oh. Like, it must be as soon as, like, wait, is he not? Fuck.
Yeah. I'd say the one that got me. So I got, when I lived in Vegas, I got hooked on massage parlors because I didn't know how they worked. We didn't, or I guess maybe we had them in Wyoming and I didn't know. So then one day my boss is like, you never got a massage? I was like, no. And he just, me and my buddy gave us $200. He goes, go. It's like middle of the day. So we went in. I'll never forget walking out. I see my buddy just make eye contact. Like, did it happen? He's like, yeah. So then I would just go out and try to get.
Was your massage the same as mine? Like, yeah. I think so.
So I would go out and just try to get girls. And then if I couldn't on the way home, I'd just go to a massage parlor. But then they taught me the game. So a massage is $60 an hour. So you come in with a $100 bill and then you hand them $100.
Tip ahead of time.
And then, yeah. So then they take the 60 out and then they come in. They tell you to lay on the thing. So you lay on the bed. Then they put the 40 on the nightstand over there. So then they'll massage you, get near your dick. And then they'll be like, you know, always, you cop? No, I'm not a cop. And they'll be like, okay, you know, $100. You go, no. And then you just go, you point to the money on the nightstand. Say, no, 40. Yeah, yeah, right there. You go, that. And they go, no, it's 80. You go, no, that. Go, oh, it's 60. You go, no, fucking 40.
Stay strong.
And then you get it, you know, and it's great. I loved it, man. They were so good at it. I always make the joke like Malcolm Gladwell, 10,000 hours. Like they were good at it. Put the baby oil on, and then my favorite part is then you.
Baby oil on your dick?
Yeah. So they pull out the baby oil, go to town, and then they, when you come off your stomach, then they bring in this warm, warm cloth. And then a little cup of water, like you get like at the dentist office, cold water and warm cloth clean you off and then go, right? So I always just got the hand job. But I'd get mad at myself the next day, even though at the time I was making a ton of money working for the gamblers. But you wake up the next day, you're like, fuck, man, I could just jerk myself off. That's $100, right? So then I would get, and I'd go there drunk and then I'd be like, I'll make this bitch earn it. I would try so hard not to come, you know? I was like, I'm not just going to,
so good at it.
I'm not going to let her off the hook. It's like, you got to earn this $100. So one time I went, I was real fucked up and she's just trying, switching hands. She's like, you too drunk. And I'm like, no, just stay.
I'm just
go.
Thinking about baseball. Go. Hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So she keeps working, arms are tired. Then she goes, you want blowjob? I go, yeah. Okay. She goes, $100. I go, okay. So then she pulls out a condom. She gets me kind of hard, and then she puts a condom on, and then she blows just one time down, just
through
like
a
this.
Condom?
Yeah, with a condom on. But I'd had
a ton of hand job.
No, I'd had hookers give me blowjobs with condoms before. That's they kind of make, some of them make you do that.
Tijuana was like they put it on with their
yeah,
mouth.
But they were so good I didn't worry. And I was, and then of course. I just hate condoms anyway. So the girl puts it on and then she just goes down one time. And of course I just get limp and then she takes it off, go, you too drunk. So she goes back and just fucking works her ass off. Then I finally come, right? So then I stand up. She brings in the towel and the cup of water and then you get dressed and they come in and they'll usually walk you out, but I still owed her $100 technically. So she comes in. And she's like, you owe $100. I go, no, you didn't even blow me. Nothing happened. And she goes, $100. And I'm like embarrassed. So I'm looking down at the ground. And this bitch just hauls off and slaps me as hard as I can. I've never been hit like this by men in my life like this.
What?
Because I was kind of embarrassed. And I was like, no, I don't owe you. And she hauls off and slaps me so hard. Like spit come out of my face. Like, and I was like. And then
it hurt.
Oh, it hurt. Especially I wasn't even expecting
that's
it. Just
crazy.
Slapped
I've been hit
me.
By a man.
And
it does not hurt.
And then I was like, hold on. I'll go get it. Cause there's a casino right next door. I said, okay, I'll go get it. I'm sorry. And then I just ran out the doors, got my car and left because there's 50 other within a 2 mile radius.
Like, I could never come back.
Yeah. I could just got blacklisted. And I probably could come back.
Did you have any intention of actually getting the money?
No. I was mad. I got no. Well, if, you know what? I would have paid if, because one time I got in big trouble with my bosses were super rich dudes. So we were in Phoenix and we went and they got a high end escort, right? And I had a girlfriend at the time and she bought me back then. They had those like Mitchell and Ness jerseys, like the really fancy, like throwback jerseys were really popular.
Uh-huh.
And my girl had bought me one. And then so they're like, so my boss is like, all right, you can go first with this girl. Cause he would just, so I was like, okay. So then she just gave me a blowjob for $200 in the bathroom. So she comes and she gives me a $200 blowjob and then, I pay her the $200 And then she puts a condom on, goes, but then she gets makeup all over my fucking jersey. I'm like, God damn it. So then when I come, then she gets up and then she walks out and their purse is my $200 on top of the fucking thing. So I just take the shit back.
Oh my God.
And then I walk out the room. And then we were staying at this big resort with all these golf courses. So I just had a golf cart and I just like knew I was like, fuck it, I'm out of here. And I took this golf cart. And then my boss was like, call me. He's like, did you take that fucking hooker's money? Cause now she wouldn't fuck him because her money was gone. So then the next night we went to dinner and then I got this big lecture. And then I was like a 22-year-old kid and they were like, you got to fucking, if they're going to blow, you can't take it back. And I was like, because my brother,
I mean, you can though. I mean, it's right there. Yeah.
Well, it but kind of fucked up their game.
Anyone in Vegas is like, come on, dude.
But like when we lived in Vegas, my brother, before I started working for the Gamblers, we lived in this shitty like weekly hotel you'd rent by the week. And then these guys would call hookers and then they would come and then they'd just try to spit game at them and try to talk them into do it for free because they're like 21-year-old dudes. And I was like, you guys are gonna get fucking killed. You can't waste their time like that. Someone really is gonna come to the door. Like this isn't a game, you know. Because I used to see the pimps. So in the morning when I worked for the Gamblers, you have to go. I'd have to college football start early on Saturday and Sunday. I'd go run around and make my bets. Yeah. And then what's that?
What do you mean?
Is he done?
Oh shit. Guys, sorry to break into the podcast, but I gotta tell you about my dates. I'm really sorry, but I really gotta tell you about my dates. This is all I do. I'm a stand-up comedian, first and foremost. This is what I like to do. So here's where you can see me live on the road. How's that? This Saturday, me and Steve Renazzisi are gonna be in Jordan's Landing, Utah. Just two of us and one special guest, maybe a second one from New York. Saturday, one show only at 10 p.m., 9:45 p.m. It's not Ogden. It's Jordan's Landing. It's close to Salt Lake City. We just added one because all the Sunday shows are sold out. So me and Steve are going to be there early because we're doing a 3 p.m. show the next day. So come out. Should be fun. I'm doing a little bit longer there too. Then, at the end of March, me, Big J, and Robert Kelly are going on tour together. We're doing Fort Wayne, Indiana at Summit City Comedy Club on the March 24th. Then Grand Rapids, Michigan on March 25th at 20 Monroe Live. And Detroit, March 26th at the Fillmore. That's Detroit, March 26th, Fillmore Theater. Tickets for all those shows are at arishafir.com. Then we got Appleton, Wisconsin. This is April now. St. Louis at Helium. Buffalo at Helium. Both of those at the end of April. And then May, Louisville. A couple more dates coming soon. And big announcement. Minneapolis and Chicago is going on sale. Use promo code JEW. Check out March 7th at 10 a.m. local time. The Pantages, is that what it is? Hold on, let me look. Minneapolis is the... Oh, it's on the Minneapolis Comedy Festival. The Pantages Theater. Oh, that's cool. On June 17th. And Chicago, June 18th at the Vic. Use promo code JEW. 10 a.m. local time, March 7th. That's this Sunday. You get tickets at arishafir.com or on those websites, the Pantages in Minneapolis and the Vic in Chicago. But go to arishafir.com. They should be, hopefully they'll be on there. March 7th is the presale. Get tickets before everyone else has a chance to get the fucking good seats. And then I'll have an update for a New York show in June also. All right, you guys, that's my tour dates. Click on the fucking extra info right now for tickets to all those shows or go to arishafir.com right now. Get tickets. If I mention your city, fucking get tickets right now. This fucking new hour is killing it. All right, let's get back to the episode. I heard a massive boom and I'm like, is he getting off? I'm like, no, he's just killing.
Dude, hold on. Let me get on the mic.
Wait, you're up. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, so I've closed. My closer is not one where you're going to follow it with anything else. So I was like, well, we'll go do some crowd work. And I was like, this is what happens when you close and then you have to keep going.
All right, talk as long as you want.
Okay, we shall. All right. Tell Brant to come back here. I don't know what you guys were talking about. What are my plugs? Oh, yeah. Hey, check out, first of all, since this is going on Patreon, I believe. Check out Beach Cops on Patreon because you're already on there. It is a mind-expanding... Ah, you fuck! Dude, did you just put your hand on your balls? You fucking dickhead. Yes, check out Beach Cops, especially if you used to do drugs and you don't do drugs anymore because it feels like you're on drugs. They're 2.5-3 hours long. They're fucking hilarious. And we go until we lose our fucking minds. Also... check out the Danish and O'Neill podcast, which is free on everything. Apple, Spotify, and whatever the fuck else. Oh, they're loving Ari. No, dude, I don't. I totally don't. I actually thought, I was like, all right. But you know when you close and you're like, oh, yeah. Okay, here we go.
Well, that's the thing, too. If you close and then, are you still recording?
Just you and I now.
Oh, it is? Oh.
He's like, keep going.
I was gonna say if you close and then
we gotta take this off,
and then you start another bit, and then I walk out in the middle of it. It's like fuck, I close so good. Just let me close. Dude, on time.
That's why I didn't. So I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna do some crowd work. But you know when you have the closer, yeah. They've already like, yeah, and I'm like, cool,
dude.
By the way, I actually found it very entertaining. Fine, yeah.
I was like, fuck. She came in. She's like, you're supposed to be on. I was like, okay, in like a minute or two. She's like, no, he's calling your name. I was like, oh, should I?
I think I did like, I think I did eight. You know, sometimes you're like, I do 18 and a half. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
No, my only choice here is now to fucking ruin that for another minute. So yeah, I was like, yeah.
How was it? Great?
Dude, they're fucking great. They're fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about in here just how lucky. I mean, moving here is the best. The shows are fucking
dude,
amazing.
This is like, you can't get this anywhere else. This is not.
Yeah, wait, like and I said, you're leaving tomorrow. You're not doing these other
shows. I know.
Shows.
Yeah, he said he had another guy, and then I don't know what happened to the other guy. Yeah. But you're doing it, right?
Yeah, I'm with him tomorrow, so.
Yeah, I think he, also because I was at the condo and he had some friends coming in, so they moved me to that, to a hotel.
Oh, really?
So I was like, you know, it all comes down to money.
How's the condo? It's great, right?
Oh, the condo's amazing.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember, like 5 years ago, this is the best comedy condo there is. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you ever did Colorado Springs. You ever do a show there?
No.
There's a club down there, and they used to have this condo that was so fucking bad. And it like changed my life. I was doing shows down there, and in this miserable condo in the hood, like I would say where I was at on stage, like give the cross streets, and the crowd would just be like, oh my God.
Dude, that's always
they thought it was a joke. I go, no, I'm really at this fucking spot. So then I'll never forget, I was sitting in this just the worst comedy condo, and it was a TV. With the VCR still attached to it. Remember those?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was watching Louis' show at the time, just eating ramen noodles. I was like, I got to fucking change. I got to change my life. And then I just booked like a 60-city tour. Not like a big one with clubs. I just did bar shows and shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I would just go do bar shows. Because if I go to these little towns, they treat me like I'm a king.
And also, dude, that's where, yeah.
And they can make more money.
And like, it's a better, like, it's a fun crowd. Because they're like, we're here to fucking party.
Yeah.
The rowdy. I like a little rowdy. Like I don't want to like disrupt the show, but I like somebody who's not afraid to answer some questions and with a little passion, you know?
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it was like North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska. So I'd go to these little towns. I'd just do a door deal. I'd call up a bar and go, hey, let me do a show. And they'd be like, how much? I go, zero. I'll just charge a ticket at the door. And then you get all the
drinks.
And they'd be like, well, we do karaoke at like 8:30 on Fridays. I go, sweet. I'll do the show at 7, try to get everyone to stay. It charged like a $10 or $12 ticket. But then if I get like 50 people, that's like $500. That's way
all
more
you.
Than I wake in a
For
club.
A night. Yeah.
And then the people would be like, I can't believe you came to our town. Like I was a fucking hero. I was like, but it was that comedy condo when I was like, I see why you hear these horror stories of like comedians killing themselves on the road. I was like, I'm a super happy dude. In that moment, I was like, I don't know if I have to kill myself, but I should get a job or something.
Dude, it's tough when you wake up and there's, you don't know anyone and you don't know the town. And you're like, I have a lot of time to kill before this fucking show tonight. And you're like, I'm already in a bad state. Like, what's this going to be like in 8 more hours?
Yeah.
So it's great when you get like, I mean, that's why. It's like Rogan and Ari. That's why they started bringing
yeah,
people on the road with them.
Always.
It's like, why wouldn't you if you can afford it?
I would bring your friends. Do it. Yeah. I mean, people always, I don't go on the road as much because I'm not at that level where I could bring people.
Yeah. I'm
people
yeah.
like, why don't you go on the road? I go, if I'm in like Dayton for 5 days by myself, I'll it's cold or something. Like the first time through, it was cool. So like, not to shit on Dayton, but you go there and there's like, Dayton has like their one cool spot to eat and one cool yeah. like antique thrift stop store or something. But after I've done all those once, then like the next time I'm like,
that's what these guys.
12 degrees. I'm like, fuck mm-hmm. this, man.
I remember Bird always used to be like, he's like, by Saturday, I'm suicidal.
I love what Bird does. Just book shows around like events he wants to go to.
Yeah. That's just, what Ari does yeah. too. He's like, we'll go here and then we'll go skiing.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the way you really need. But some guys are like, no, because I got to be somewhere else. And it's like, dude, are you going to work yourself to death?
Well, yeah.
I don't know. But also, this is, I'm not at that level yeah, either, so no, I don't fucking either. Know what the fuck it is. What were you guys talking about? Hooker stories?
Yeah, we were just doing hooker stories about, I don't even know how we got on it. And then I was just telling him just Vegas stories about.
Are you a hooker guy?
I dabbled in it, but it was.
You didn't go pro.
It was massage parlors at first, but then it was. But then I got really into massage parlors. But yeah, but I definitely. So I used to work for professional gamblers. These rich dudes, I was a runner, and I would just run around and make bets, and it was all cat. It was crazy. It
would yeah, take two I remember you telling me AM. That.
But then sometimes he would get hookers, and then so then, because it's an intimidating thing to get into. So luckily, I had a
hookers
mentor.
Yeah. Or get the gambling.
No, gambling too. But like, I think you know, I think the hookers, you know. Once it was good to have him kind of show me what to do.
Show
you
the ropes.
I was talking about how
was he pushing your ass while you were fucking?
No, but like, he taught me the hooker game. Well, I just
what to get like a better deal or how to ask for it, like in the massage parlor.
Yeah, just how to not get ripped off and just okay. like.
Oh, you mean how not to get like robbed?
Well, I learned that too, but like, it's so funny. I'm writing this book. I wrote a book.
Yeah, I saw it.
No, I have another book.
I have some questions about your book, too, because I don't know anything about that world, and I'm I'm interested. I'm fascinated with, not to get in, but I'm just like, I love to know the mechanics of that
but
shit.
I wrote another book that I can't.
Hey,
can I have a beer? Just a Coors Light draft?
Thank you. I'm good for now. Thank you.
So I wrote a book. I left LA, and I was writing this other book, and it's called You Couldn't and You Won It. And it's 10 girls that I fucked that most dudes couldn't and 10 girls I fucked that most dudes wouldn't. That's fucking so I was almost done with it. And then I met my fiance now at the time.
I can't publish
but I was like, and she's like, you can put it out. I was like, I can't put it out. It would drive you crazy because it's.
Did you talk to the women too? Or did you go back and talk to the women?
No, I just talked to them. I mean, they're not going to be happy about it. I don't name any names, but it's like.
But they'll know.
A couple of them I'll probably have to like. You know, I'll tell you the list real quick. Like,
and so your lady, she's like, I could handle it. And you're like,
she says she can, but she can't.
Would she read it?
No,
you think she would read the book?
She said
or she
would read it. But the thing is,
yeah, that's a tough.
I would have to do promotion for it. And then she'd just be,
you're on Barstool going through
her timeline and it'd be like, there's a time I got to.
And that's the problem, especially when you get a relationship and she's not in the comedy world.
No.
So then she'll be like, I saw your. Boy, wait, you married or no?
No, we're engaged.
Oh, yeah. So we saw your fiance and he was saying some pretty crazy things.
Yeah. Well, her friends would be like, or her family or anyone would be like, you know, like your future husband just gets. So here, I'll give you the rundown. So like.
Dude, I was ashamed to even tell like my wife, like, because when I went to Amsterdam, I used to go to Amsterdam, like I've been a few times and things just got out of hand to the point where I was like, I have to leave Amsterdam now. Because it was just like, you know, the drugs and then the hookers and everything. And like it's funny when you tell your friends, but when you have to tell your wife, you go, oh, this doesn't sound very cool. And it's and she's sad about it.
We were talking about that because I made that. So my prior girlfriend that I dated in Vegas on like the second or third date, she's like, have you ever had a hooker? And then I liked her.
Yeah.
And I started a relationship. So then I said no. But then I had to, we ended up dating for like 3.5 years. I had to ride that lie. And then I had to tell my friends. I never wanted like.
Yeah, it's tough to let you
my
gotta.
Friends, I'm like, I just gotta be honest. Thank you so much.
That's why I just told my wife because I was like, first of all, I talked about it on podcasts before too. So, but it's funny when everyone's just making jokes, but when she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's sad.
And my fiance's gorgeous. I'm sure she's fucked a ton of dudes.
Yeah.
But if she brings it up, I'd be like, you can't, well, shut up. I don't, no one wants to hear this, but if I bring it up, I'm like, it's for work.
Yeah.
Content. Yeah. So I try to be fair about that, because as much as she, because my other, the ex-girlfriend, the Vegas one, was like, oh, you can go get a massage. I wouldn't be mad. And I was like, in my head, I was like, don't fall for this.
Yeah, yeah.
You might think you wouldn't be mad, or so.
But that's the thing also with lady, like I, you want a lady that's been around. Yeah. Because first of all, less likely to leave you because she's seen everything else that's around. Number two, she knows how to fuck. It's not like something she's like, yeah, this is what I like. This is what I don't like. You're like, cool. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. And you can just get into it. You don't, it's always weird when people are like, yeah, she better not fuck a lot of guys. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
At this point,
I just like, don't want to know.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't, I used to be like jealous when I was young. And then I realized, first of all, you can't stop it. The more you sweat somebody about it, they'll just, like one of my buddies, he's just so jealous. And his girls always cheat on him.
Yeah.
You know, so he'd be like, you got to be home. And then they end up just fucking some dude in the park in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. It's like, and then like, if dudes are hitting on your girl or if she gets likes, I'm like, if your girl doesn't get likes on Instagram, your girl's awful.
Yeah.
you can't get mad at that. Like, dude, I want to tell these girls, quit giving pussy to these pouty ass dudes. Just tell them no more.
Yeah.
And the more you tell, like, the more you try to get your girl not to cheat on you, then you're just like, so again, my friend, he's just an asshole to his girlfriend all the time. So then what happens is all her friends and her mom and her sisters are always just trying to get her to cheat on him or break up.
Yeah.
I go, you got everyone working also, against you because you're a psycho.
You got to be, you got to be cool. Just find somebody that you, that's cool to you and you can be cool too and you're good.
Yeah.
It is weird though. I dated a girl who, and she had fucked this guy who was like kind of or became high profile. So like in 1 week we saw three movies that he was in. Like we watched one in the theater, one on TV, and I was like, Jesus Christ.
Who was it?
I can't say.
Oh.
I can't. Well, I don't want to say, just two.
I have a similar one. Well, not, I have a different one, and I've told this story a bunch of times, so I won't go through it, but Josh Jackson, the
Casey,
he fucked my girlfriend one time.
Big old hog Josh Jackson.
So and now if fucking anything Mighty Ducks or he does any, luckily his career is going in the other direction.
Yeah.
Cause if he ever does anything, I just get texts like, you see what Josh Jackson
is
like.
Also it's good now. Cause what is he? 45 years old or something. It's not like you're looking at Josh Jackson, 28 years old, prime of his, now he's got like kids probably and shit.
Yeah.
It's easier.
I think he got caught cheating on his wife or something. Like, with, that's Josh Jackson.
With that big hog.
Yeah.
The big hog's got to fuck.
But then like I say, what I tell the story on stage is like, but I deserved it. I cheated on her with I can't sit here and play like poor victim. I mean, she was in Laramie, Wyoming. He was a fucking humongous movie star.
Dude.
People always say you have like that get out of the free one, whatever it's called. I was like, even if I hadn't cheated on her, I mean, the dude is Josh Jackson. He had a puppy in his room. He's a fucking movie star with a puppy.
That's insane. When you told me that he lured him in by saying, I have a puppy and there was a fucking puppy in there. Come on. Also, the weird thing about, I think like cheating up to like age 30 or so, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it's just, no, it is, like, look, it's going to happen. It's always weird when people, it's like, dude, I don't know, especially if you're like 19, 20, that's just how it, like, you don't know anything. What do you think? You're going to stay forever? My thing was always like, well, I'm not going to be with this person forever. And this is a pretty good opportunity. And I guess it's kind of a dick move, but I also, you're thinking with a fucking completely polluted mind.
Yeah.
And I mean, once you get engaged, then take the cheating off the table.
Yeah, but I fucked some married chicks before, and it was like, and then people were mad at me. I was like, I'm not married.
Yeah.
That was, they did it. One time I fucked this married chick, I tried not to forever. I'm not lying to you. I said, no. And I knew her. And then one time we were drinking, and then she still tried to like hook up with me in the car, and I was like, no. And I went home, and I got to my house. I was so proud of myself. She called. She's like, and then she hit me with this. She's like, what are you, not a man? Are you some kind of fucking pussy?
Oof.
Like a dumb idiot. I fucking drunk drove over to her house and but I'm just such a dumb
dude. How many times she pulled that one out? I mean,
but it
get over here and show me, prove to me you're a fucking man.
I mean, I was probably like 26 at the time. I'm 44. I hope it wouldn't work now, but man, that thing cut like a knife when she's just like, what are you, not a man? You're
dude, at 26.
I was like, here we go.
Yeah. That's, you have nothing to show, so you're like, I'll go fucking totally show this. Caught. Yeah.
She fucking moved. I've been telling this story on stage about this too. Twice in my life, girls have fucked me, and then they woke up the next day and they never drank again. Like, I was their rock bottom. They're
Jesus
like,
Christ.
I fucked Brandt Tobler. I have to change my life.
Dude, have you ever, I had that happen to me When I was 34, I went to Mexico for a wedding, and it got so out of hand that afterwards, I was in such a dark hole. I go, I gotta fucking get my life together. I gotta get my life. This is ridiculous. Like, I can't. You know when you're like, I'm living like I'm 19, yeah, and I'm 30. I go, this can't go on, man. Like, it was just, you felt dirty and fucking weird instead of like, oh, this is cool. It was no longer cool.
I had something similar, not with the drinking, though, but I went to my buddy's wedding in Cabo, and then
that's where I was.
Yeah. So we have a great time, everything's great, and then people start posting the pictures on Facebook, and I'm looking through the pictures, and then I just see this like fat dude with a big bald spot in the back of his head, and I was like, who's that? And then I was like, oh my god, that's me. You. I go, oh fuck, that's me. That's what I looked like that whole trip. I didn't realize I was that fat. I always wear a hat. I mean, I know, yeah, I'm going bald a little, but I didn't know in the
I'm
sun.
I'm with you, dude. I got the same thing. Like, my hair fucking, I know, yeah.
But then when you're in the pool or something, I was like, I was really, it took me a second, and then I was like, oh man, I got it.
You gotta do
it. Like, I can't do it. What am I gonna do? I'm going bald. And then I was like, I was just like, it was crazy that I was like, oh, that's me. I think I kept a pretty positive body image. I never.
And then you're like,
but then I was like, I don't look like
I've seen that,
dude.
Yeah. I've seen when it's shocking, especially if you're losing your hair and you see a shot from behind, you go,
yeah,
when
it's wet.
Man, dude.
That's what it was. Fucking, I was like, oh, man. Yeah. There's no fluff or anything.
Yeah, dude. And it's funny, is like, you try to find a million ways. You're like, you'll try to fluff it up in the back. And you're like, and at this point, I'm like, fuck it, yeah, man. There's nothing I can do. I usually go a hat, but like when I'm performing, I actually had my hair. I started growing it out because I told my wife I was going to go with a ponytail, like pull it back over the bald spot. And then she finally was like, I don't know if I could fuck you.
I did the same thing during the pandemic. Had it long, was going for the same thing. And then I was like, God. And then one day, I looked at a picture. I was like,
you're like, it's no longer a gag, God, man.
This looks like shit.
And, you're like,
and
it's
these
not
pictures
a gag.
Never go away.
Dude, I was trying
to show someone a picture the other day. My buddy's in a band and he brought me on stage to sing with him. Really cool moment. And I was so happy to have his photographer take a picture. And then when I look at it now, I was like, oh, I hate the way I look in this picture. I just have shitty curl. It's just like white. I just look awful.
Dude, I went to like my haircut lady after like 10 months of growing it out. And she's like, oh my God, what the fuck did you do? And I was like, just cut it all off. Give it to me short.
Well, my girlfriend's a hairstylist. My fiance's a hairstylist. So
that's my dream, dude. Yeah, my dream is to have that.
But, well, you know, I do something another stupid thing I don't do anymore is when I'm in like a bad rut or if I'm just not doing good or a little down or something, I think I'm going to fucking shave my beard and fucking change things. And then when I shave my beard, I look even shittier.
Yeah.
It's like, why'd I do this? Now I look like I felt like shit before. Now, but if I shave, I look like shit. And I'm like,
dude, I do the same, but every like 2 or 3 years, I go, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to shave my head and bick it. I fucking do it. And then I'm like, I have a very supportive wife, but sometimes they'd be like, what the fuck, dude? You know, have you ever bicked your head?
No, I'm scared to
death,
man.
Dude, it is, you go out those first week when it is just bright white, you do look like you're dying. You look like you're fucking dying.
I think my head's like a lopsided. I think it would be a bad, bad look. I think it'll get to that someday, but.
It's one of those, yeah. Dude. The Cabo, did you go out and they had the dudes on the ultralights on the sand?
No, what's that?
Like,
or maybe.
They were ultralight trikes. It's basically like a hang glider with a dude in a seat and a fucking engine with a propeller.
No.
Oh, dude, I woke up after I fucking did fucking Mexican cocaine at like Sammy Hagar's fucking place.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was like, let's go there. I go, this is the worst idea. I was drunk. I fuck this married chick, and then I walk out on the beach to look at the ocean and be like, what the fuck? And there's a guy, and I go, how much is it for a ride on this thing? I didn't have shoes on, and he's like, $50. I go, let's go, man.
Let's go.
And I was like, and part of me is like, just crash it, dude. Just fucking crash it. So I don't know where this guy trains as a pilot or anything, but he's on the beach with one of these things just giving fucking rides.
They did a comedy festival there, and Ari was there, and a bunch of us were there, and it had to be run by the cartel. I'm only saying that because it was in Cabo. They flew us all down, put us in nice resorts. We had free food and free drinks. And then we would do shows at night.
When was this?
Like
recently?
2015, 16. Okay. So it was like 2 years. And then we would do shows at night. And there would be like 12 people in the audience. It was, had to be
and
like
they a paid bunch. Everybody.
We got paid. I think we got maybe $500. Maybe
but everything not. Else was comp.
Actually, I think everything was just free. But once, yeah, because they paid for our flights, hotels, so I don't think they gave us any money. Or maybe okay. not me. Maybe they gave Ari some of the because there was big comics there. And then we would do these shows, and there would be like 17 people. And they were like, Tiffany Haddish was there. This is like right before she popped. Mm-hmm. There was like pretty big, well-known comics.
Do you think it was like a money laundering scheme?
It had to be. And we had the best time, though, because it was just like, it's like yeah. It was, I think, 45 comics. And then, and just all the booze. And, you know, it's weird because I was still kind of young in my career.
So 45 comics?
Yeah. And I think there might have been more than that, actually.
Do you're talking like 45 grand?
Yeah.
At minimum. Low.
And they
low end.
And they couldn't have made any money off it. And then it was weird because you would go. So it was a lot of comics I hadn't met yet. So you'd go, you know, you're at a festival, you go, hey, man, what's up? How are you? Where are yeah. you from? And then you're at a bar. And you run out of shit to say to each other, like, want to do a shot? And you want to be like, yeah, man, I just met you. Let's do a shot. And we would just get annihilated.
That is, dude, I can't live like that anymore. There were times where it was like, it wasn't even about the performing. It was like, guess what? We get free drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
And as long as I get on stage and I can fucking perform, then I'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm. If I go hard, it's like I need at least one day off. But sometimes it's almost a day and a half. I can't do shots anymore. I just drink shitty beer. Drink like Coors Light. But again, we talked about it the other night. When you do this and people are nice to you after shows, it means a lot when someone comes up and goes, hey, man, you were great. Can I buy you a shot?
Yeah.
I'm just not good at saying no. I'm like, oh, it's you said I'm great. Thanks.
I can. Like,
no, I got to get better at that.
I can't. Also, my fan, like the few fans that do come out, like, because I, you know, because I'm on Ari. So then, like, people listen to our show. So we'll get a few fans each show, like, you know, three or four. But, they're not the boozer types.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, we do some weird shit. So, like, they're into, like, weird. Like, some dude yesterday, we do this Beach Cops show. It's our Patreon podcast. But he 3D printed this image of Shakira with a big cock. Because one of the dudes on the show, his dream is to fuck Shakira with if she had a big cock put in. So like we get shit like that and I'm like, that's awesome. I'll take that any day over
podcast
a fucking
fans
shot.
Are the greatest. The best. I was this girl's doing like a project for Georgetown University or something and she asked me about comedy. And she's like, how's tickets? I go, it's all podcast fans and they're the best. She goes, how do you? I go, they're the best because they listen to you. They feel like they know you.
And then
they do considerate nice stuff. I mean, sometimes they hang around too long after a show or sometimes like which I don't mind. I don't know how these guys do it, like a celeb big famous comedian.
Yeah.
But for me it means like even when I put together that tour, at the time I was talking about on my podcast I like Chipotle and these people would bring me like a Chipotle card and a gas card and just like the nicest most I mean it's who sells tickets? It's all podcasts.
Dude, but
no one watches any TV.
It's YouTube shit. That's the funny thing. We were talking about like I was like when a hit TV, it doesn't even a show. It doesn't even matter what network. Most of the time, I don't even know what fucking network. I go on Amazon and I was like, I heard this is good. I'll just fucking buy it or get it off whatever app I need to.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I always dreamed about like doing like the Tonight Show or Letterman. Letterman's gone off.
Dude, back. I mean,
because Tonight Show now it means nothing.
We're similar ages, and that was like you're like fucking Tonight Show.
But we have friends that do it. They don't see a spike in ticket. If you do Ari's podcast, I bet doing this podcast, whatever, I don't know where he's gonna put it. I didn't even know we were doing a podcast today.
Yeah,
would do more for my career than if I did like Colbert tomorrow.
100%. That's where people now go out and promote shit. I know friends I have. They're like, I did. Whatever, when Conan, before he's like, oh, I did one of Conan's last shows. I was like, when?
I told him killed it.
I was like, what the fuck? I didn't know. I didn't even know you were going to. He's like, oh, yeah, it was at like noon earlier. Yeah. And I was like, great, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fat. Also, they do know, like I added up all the podcast hours that we've done. And it was like 36 days of 24 hours a day. If you listen 24 hours a day, it'll take you 36 days to get through it.
Yeah.
Those people know you better than your fucking family does, right? Or at least a side of you.
For sure.
Yeah. My mom is always like, oh, I want to listen to you. I go, first of all, you know what's going on. Don't do it. She goes, I just want to support you. And I'm like, support me by not listening to anything I do.
Card.
Yeah, no shit. Hey, I want to ask you about your book, because I've always want to know somebody that's had a bestseller and what the fuck. I mean, what does it take to be a bestseller? And like,
well,
what is
that's not like that's all numbers bullshit. But the crazy thing was I never was supposed to write a book. I'm an idiot. I dropped out of junior college. Like, yeah. And I just wrote a book. And the best thing I ever did, if anybody's listening, and I did it. And I'll never forget, I got the book, like the first copy. And I went to Chick-fil-A to get some lunch. And I was just sitting there holding it. I just started crying because I was like,
"Was this the this is the best moment of your career?"
Because I had it. Because, like I said, no one ever thought I'd write a book. And I'll tell you the funny thing about it. So then I'm sitting there crying. I was like, I did it. And then I had a moment. I was like, what if nobody buys my book? And then I was like, who gives a fuck? You wrote a book.
And someone printed it.
You can't take that away. And the great part is now I go to my friend's house, go to people's house. Maybe they put it out because I'm coming, or you just see it places. Yeah. And then.
But that's the comic in you. You're like, they probably just put it out because they knew I'd be here. But who the fuck?
The compliment I always get, which is kind of a backhanded compliment, is like, dude, I read it and it's actually like really good. And I'm like, dude. And I was like, I get it because I didn't think it would be I think it's really good. I really am proud of it, but it's so funny because, you know, people will just say, yeah, I just love you and support you. But man, it's like really a good book.
There's nothing better than the actually.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to be there. It changes the entire tone of what you've just said.
That's so funny you said that, because a comic was telling me a story last night that someone was doing a show and they were just telling a story or talking about something. And an audience member raised their hand and goes, actually. And I was like, oh, fuck that. Actually, don't. I don't. We sometimes these stories aren't based on 100% facts or something. I was like,
yeah.
Some of the comic was talking about Insane Clown Posse or something. And the someone super fan is like, actually, the guy's like, starts telling us, like, oh, God, don't come to comedy ever.
What are you,
ever,
fucking Wikipedia? Just let it go, man. It's a bit. Who gives a shit if the facts are a little off? Your Insane Clown Posse. Not. Also, he was like, this is my time to shine, man. Finally, the one area where I have all the expertise. ICP.
Again, that's why podcast fans are the best. I mean, I'm not trying to pander to them because we're on a podcast, but they know comedy.
Yeah.
Like, these shows with Ari's fans, they fucking know what to do. If Ari asks you something, but you don't just say shit. You just like, I just hate that so much, man. Just the fucking dumb.
I know.
I got into it with a guy here one time. And he was just fucking mouthing off. And my girl wears the iPhone or the Apple Watch.
The Fitbit.
Yeah. And when I get into it with a heckler, because at one point I was like, man, he was wearing a scarf as a winner. I was like, I'll fucking choke you out with that scarf around your neck. And my girlfriend's watch went off like she was doing an activity because her heart started beating so fast because she was worried that I was going to fucking fight this guy right on stage. And I was like, I'll come fucking choke you out with your sweater or with your scarf. But yeah, to some of these audience.
So then how does it become a bestseller? Like, promoing it?
Yeah, so then I did a lot of press for it and just podcasts. And then,
yeah.
But it's like it's like a numbers thing. So it's like I don't know what.
Is it like when that like comics like I'm the no like yeah, the like, iTunes yeah, and
it's
all
not,
that
it's,
and
it's I'm
like
not fucking Stephen King or something. Like if any of us put out a CD, it goes to number one.
Yeah.
It'll beat Bo Burnham for like 10 seconds and then you get a picture and you post.
Yeah, you're like, fuck, we timed it
so
right.
So it's not like it's life change. Like I mean, I sold a lot of books, but it wasn't like the thing is, I'm trying to get a movie deal for it. So the whole thing stemmed. That's where the money's at. But that's out of my control.
Do you get, what is it, like CDs? What percentage of like a book sale? Do you get like a dollar a book? Yeah, or is it?
No, so if you buy it off Amazon, I think it's 20 and I get like four.
You get $4. Okay.
If you can buy the books, where the money is selling it as merch.
Oh, so, okay. You get all
so
of
you, no, so I. They'll print a book for like $4.75 ship. It cost me about $5 to get a book.
What does it cost them to print a fucking book? Yeah, 20 cents or something?
Yeah. But Jesus. I get them for like $5 and then sell them for $20.
Okay.
But the great part about it, it's not like the old days where if you wrote a book, then you'd have to buy a bunch, put it in your garage. Like if I email Amazon, the people that do it, I can order 5 books or 5,000 books, and they cost $5 each.
Who said you would always see that? It's also people with, like, merch.
Well, I did it with merch. Like,
and they're
shirts,
like, dude, my garage is full of fucking shirts from 20 years. The one guy was like, dude, I'm no longer putting the year on my shirt because this shit has a shelf life.
I'll tell you what, the bad part is they're fucking heavy. So I used to bring them as merch. They're fucking heavy.
Yeah, but how many can you pack
in? So if I pack like 30, so they come in a box of like 30, but that's a fucking... checking that through an airport and shit, it's like...
Yeah, and then they start weighing shit, and they're like,
and
dude...
And when you sell them all, it's worth it, but it's like...
How many books do you have to sell to get like a bestseller?
I don't even know. That's like the manager did it. But I don't know if it's like if I was on there for 10 minutes, if I was on there for 10 days. Because no one really knows the algorithms of like... It's like podcast numbers and like...
Yeah.
My manager just said that I made one of the new... So then I just said bestseller. Like,
that's all that fucking
matters.
I know
it's like bestseller on Amazon, but I don't know if it's for a day or...
What if it comes like that thing where it's like New York Times bestseller? It's almost like, remember Zagat ratings? And it's like, eventually they're like, well, we could probably just sell the... Not saying you, but I'm saying like, there's got to be some motherfuckers that go on there and they're like, or they kick Oprah.
Yeah.
They're like, we'll give you fucking...
You can just say whatever you want. And like I said, they didn't give me like a plaque or anything. My manager just was like, sent me a thing. Like, we did it. We're on there. But I don't even know where to find it. I mean, I don't know if it's in the newspaper, so I don't even know. It's so
weird, too. I know. Like, do you have to get a physical printed copy?
But it's not like, you know, when you go to, like, a bookstore in the airport, and they have, like, the 20 bestsellers, and they have them.
It's you, John Grisham, and fucking...
I'm in Barnes & Noble or Amazon, or you can...
But yeah, you can go in and actually...
The best part of it was Audible. I did the Audible for it. That's what I recommend.
And you read it? Oh, that's cool.
But that was the hardest thing. I mean, writing a book's harder, but doing the Audible was so fucking hard. So this... These two girls helped me with it in Phoenix. And the night before we were hanging out, and they're like, you need to go home and rest up for this. And I was like, for what?
To read a book? Yeah.
I could just read it. I thought I was like, Jay-Z, I'll do the shit in one take. I was like, I got it. And then, so then it took me 2 9-hour days, and I was fucking
just reading
exhausted.
All day.
But it's just start, stop. Because I would, you know, like Brant Tober, I'd say Tramp Bobler, restart. It was just like the frustration of like, you get a sentence, Christ. You get a second sentence, fuck it up, go back. To the point, I did 2 9-hour days. I finished at like 8:15. I was asleep by 9 o'clock both those nights.
Damn.
Just like a weird exhaustion I never felt in my life.
Dude, it's my nightmare. I'm a shitty reader.
Just over
so I would
and
be
over
like,
it.
Fucking, jeez. Yeah. And then you get to, you're like, I'm almost done. And then you just keep fucking up that last page.
Yeah. And it was crazy because I went over the book over and over and over. And there's some rough parts in there because my dad went to prison and my dad beat up my mom. My dad was a bad person. And it never hit me till I was reading it. I was reading it for the Audible, and then I just started crying. And then
two
sweet ladies that helped me produce it came over and hugged, which was funny because I was trying to do it.
Did they keep it in there? Like you getting emotional
you could feel the emotion a little bit. Not when I would get through a sentence. Then I just, at one point I just started bawling. But the funny part was I was going to have these rapper dudes had like a studio, and I was just didn't have a lot of money. I was trying to produce this all myself.
Yeah.
And I was going to do it in the studio with these rappers, and they'd have been like, yo, man, shut the fuck up. All our dads suck.
Dude. Oh, yeah, I know. He's like, you want to hear my fucking
these
story?
These two girls came over, and we just cried and cried. We had to take like a
lunch
break. But the Audible part is like, that was the best. To me, I think it's just the best part of it because you can really probably feel some of like what I... But again, my dad was bad. We don't have to go over the whole story, but my dad was bad, a really bad person, but my mom protected me from it. So I didn't know how bad my dad was till I wrote the book.
And they were together or they split up and then you...
My dad, he would go to prison. My dad was in and out of prison. So then they finally, my dad... beat the shit out of my mom enough times that one time my mom couldn't take it anymore and like took me and my little brother to a grocery store, and then had my grandma came and picked us up, and then my dad came home and my mom wasn't there, and then he spiraled out of control and then went to prison. And then, but you know, my mom just like, my mom, I love my mom, but she just, if there's a pile of shit, shit toothpick and a pile of gold, she'll fucking find it. So she's just attracted to shitty dudes. And then
that's the problem with that cycle, man,
my grandma always tried to, but then eventually my grandma had to come bail us out. And then luckily my mom met another dude. I had a good stepdad, but and then my dad was just in and out of my life, at college. I joke about it on stage in the book. My mom told me he was at college, so I didn't know. I thought he was really at college, but he was at prison the whole time. So it's a good book. If you're listening, it's called Free Roll.
I want to read it. Actually, I don't read books. I only do audiobooks, so they got to be on audiobooks.
I think you'll like it, man. I promise. I'm obviously biased, but it's...
I'll check it out. I'll text you. I'll be like, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah. That's what I'll... Yeah, so... It was a fucking wild ride, man.
Damn, okay. Well, we can keep going.
What were you guys talking about?
Dude, I don't even remember because I was like, I gotta, you know, I like to have like, Ari's fucking weird. He just like walk from this up there. I need like, give me 5 minutes to like gather my thoughts.
I know, I'm trying to figure out what he comes off. So wait, you came off at 8?
Yeah, you know.
Well, I did like 12, so I was probably done at,
I did 18.
What time we start? 7:45?
Yeah, 9:45.
No, 7.
Or wait, no, 7:30.
So I was off at like 7:42, and then you came off probably, what
like,
were you doing?
Like a guy over like 8.
Okay, so he's probably doing, it's 8:37.
Yeah, yeah. So he's
probably got 8. What's he doing? 45?
55. Yeah, he might, he'll probably get, he always says that, and then he goes fucking hour and 10 minutes, and he's like, I'm only doing 49 minutes.
When
and it's like,
going, shit, I shouldn't be eating gummy bears on the podcast.
Yeah, no, I don't even remember what we're fucking talking about because, you know, you're like, all right, I'm doing this, but I'm also like, all right, I'm not like, I don't know how you are when you perform, but I always get I have a little bit of antsiness, you know, where I'm like, all right, I need it to get jammed up. Oh, you just can walk.
Just go.
Yeah.
Which is like a weird, I don't know why I have that, but I'm just.
It's good.
People are like, do you get, well, you know what? To be fair, this is my home club. I feel if I was at a different club, it does take me a different. I will say I'm more antsy like the first or second night, and I don't know. This is like where I'm at, so this is, feels like home. Yeah,
but even
so
I still, you know, I used to be like, oh fuck, what's wrong? Then I saw like Dice before he was going up in the OR for like 15 people, you know, and he was like pacing, and I was like, oh wait, is he always? He's like an Eleanor Kerrigan, hilarious comedian, Eleanor Kerrigan. Check her out.
She's great.
She's like, oh yeah, he's like a fucking. He's all, and I was like, damn, this fucking guy was doing stadiums and shit. And you're like, well, it's, you know.
Well, you know, people always ask me, and I tell them, I go, if I go kill or if I bomb, it's like the same. I'm just going to go home.
Yeah, I know. It's not as bad as it used to be.
People think it's so scary. But here's what I ask you. You probably have answered this a lot of times, but I always ask store guys, and you've been with the store forever. But like, what's your favorite? I always ask, first night, your first set, once you got passed.
Yeah.
And then your favorite store night.
My passing was weird because I didn't want to be passed because I like I knew I was going
to
end up in the.
Hold on, we have to pause that to all the comics. That,
dude,
if anyone's watching this,
I don't
understand
one goal
it. To get passed, and you're like, I didn't even want to get passed at the most famous club in the world,
dude. I don't. It's always weird for me to like, even like Ari, like very holds it very sacred. It what to me it was like, fuck. Well, I'm getting like two good employee spots. You know, and but when I got passed, you know, the store was in shambles. Like there was nobody showing up and late night, and that's where I knew I would end up. So I was like, I'm gonna end up with one spot a week, and it's gonna be at fucking 1 a.m. And I was like, I don't. So then, Mitzi was kind of in and out. You know, of, like I knew Mitzi wasn't with it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, so eventually there was just like three of us. It was me, Mark Ellis, and Jeff Danis, who does Danish and O'Neill with me, and. They eventually just go, we'd been working there. And they're like, dude, you have to pass these guys. People just were like, so then somehow they're just like, hey, Mitzi passed you guys.
Oh, shit.
And by the way, I'd gone up in front of Mitzi 15 times. And every time was a fucking disaster because Mitzi would ice a room like nobody.
Wait,
she had an energy.
Do you have a Mitzi impression or no?
Oh, she's like, oh, who is this guy? Oh.
I love Mitzi and Tommy impressions.
Oh, yeah. And Tommy's like, well, okay. Well, Mitzi was, you know. And then Tommy would lie to you. And I'm like, Tommy treats everybody like they're an idiot. And I'm like, dude, we know you're just lying to us. So then we got passed. They claim Mitzi passed us. I think it was just like they have to pass. Like, you got to just. We're the only three guys that are fucking normal. Yeah. So, like, get us on the lineup. And then, you know, we fucking wasted away in obscurity at late night doing fucking four people at 1 a.m., you know, and that's where we cut our teeth.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like, even to this day, I'm like, great. It's not like it doesn't. I saw people cry when they got passed.
Oh, I'm sure.
I saw people be like, and I'm not trying to like be like, oh, well, it just didn't. And I'm also, you know, I don't know. I'm not like the most emotional guy anyway. So I was like, great. I was like, this. I know what it means because I worked there.
Yeah.
So I was like, we're going to waddle away and maybe we'll get pulled out of this, but probably not. And that was hell. I mean, like those, when it was bad and the crowds just were like, it was more of a bar than it was a show. Yeah. They're like, well, this is probably the only place like that's open right now to get drinks. And that's why they're sticking around. Like, man. But dude, man, yeah, some of those nights were some of the worst nights of my life, but some of them were magic.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So what about the best? Or one of the best? I know that's a hard question.
Dude, I'll give you this one, because this is just, because it's going to be a name drop, but on Mondays, you could if you're paid regular after the open mic, they do like a lottery. And so to go up in whatever order number you pull. And so I was real late. And so I was up at the Ding Dong Show, the Don Barris Ding Dong Show.
Legendary.
Dude, amazing. And check out the Ding Dong Show. Don Barris is a fucking... He's the closest thing to a comedic genius that I've ever seen.
I was just say, I don't know how you... One of a kind. There's nothing...
True. You'll never be another.
I want to hear the story, but that's what we would go when I lived in LA, and I just got there and I was scared, and I would just go watch that. And
then,
and when Brody or anything Brody with... Brody and Don Barris was like... Coming from Vegas, we didn't really have alt. We just had Vegas comedy. Is just what I don't even know what the fuck you'd call Vegas comedy. We didn't have any like alt comedy. We just had like combat comedy because we were doing shows in bars with slot machines. So it didn't matter. Fucking Chris Rock came in if someone was playing Keno.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Wasn't there a room? There was a room there that like Tripoli was the only guy. I remember hearing the stories and like. Everyone's like, dude, Tripoli is the only guy that can tame this room. Like, he'll go up and be like,
you know what? We actually, maybe that's why I don't get worried about it. Is like, we, and Tripoli was a guy that we all looked up to because he'd come through and he was fucking Tripoli.
Dude, Tripoli's, when a bad crowd, Tripoli is just pound, pound.
I mean, I think the Vegas crowds are awful, but that, but anyway, so then I moved to LA and I would just go watch that show, watch Don or watch Brody, and I just fucking thought fucking I'd never seen anything like it. It was incredible.
Dude, I always said you need another crowd looking through a window watching them do this to a crowd that's actually live in there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's all, the comedy is in the, it's what people's reactions. They're like, what the fuck? I mean, I had a lot of the, you remember Robert William Epervaya? The dude with the schizophrenia, with the green, like, we had a lot of great nights, but probably the one that bought me like another few years in comedy was and this wasn't even that long ago, but it was the Monday night when you sign up, and I had a fucking number that was so high that I knew I wasn't gonna get up, so I was upstairs with Don fucking around at the Ding Dong Show. I come down and there's like two people left in the OR, and then one guy's like, he was next on the list, he's like, I'm not going up. And then they're like, well, you're the only one left. I go, well, fuck it. I'm here. I'll just go up. So I went up and I'm up for like talking to these guys for like 4 minutes. And then Chappelle shows up and like Eleanor's like, go up there for some reason. So then I hear some guy yelling from the back and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And it's Chappelle. And so then it just turns in. And by the way, if I had known Chappelle, you know, none of this would have happened. But at this point, I didn't give a fuck. So then it's like 35 minutes of just me and Chappelle and these dudes. And he's just like, keep going, man. And I'm just telling stories about like, I grew up in a motel and I also worked on my grandparents' farm. So it's like stories about my dad wrapping chains around like calves' legs that are stuck inside, fucking yanking them out and like crazy, almost dying in a granary and all this. And he's just like, dude, fucking poor white people are way crazier than poor black. And so he's like, just keep going, man. Keep going, man. I got to hear more. And so I was like, all right. And then it was just like, he would throw jokes out. We'd just go back and forth. And then...
Wait, he's in the crowd?
He's in the back, you know, in that back. Mitzi, he's sitting in Mitzi's seat.
Yeah.
And there's two guys in there. By this time now, like Don's in there, Eleanor, and all the employees. So there's a few more. But we're just going back and forth, just riffing on shit and making jokes.
At some point, realize it's him, right?
Oh, I knew right at... Yeah, I knew as soon as he started talking.
Yeah.
But at that point, I was like...
Well, fuck it.
Normally, I would have been like, oh, fuck, it's Chappelle. That was all... Like,
but he's like warming and like the fact... like.
Yeah,
maybe warming is not the word, but like
he was in it. We're going back. Like, he was throwing shit out, and we were just joking about shit. And then, he's like, oh man, he's like, I'm with this chick, and she's like, we gotta go, but I want to go. And then I got off stage, and I was out in the parking lot, and he pulled up in his truck, and he's like, dude, I just want to tell you, I really enjoyed that.
That's awesome.
And then the next day, Eleanor comes and gets me. She's like, hey, Chappelle wants to talk to you. And so Chappelle's like, I'm filming my special up in the belly room. And he's like, what are you doing for the next week? And I was like, I'm not nothing. And he's like, will you just open the show up there for me? And I was like, yeah. And so then I went to, like, I showed up the first day. And by the way, it's like Chappelle, so, like, not even comics can get in to watch.
Yeah.
And it's, like, all these guys, like, fucking Bushwick Bill from, like, the Ghetto Boys. Yeah. You had to turn your phone in, but he had a second phone on him, so he got thrown out up there.
They kicked him out?
They kicked him out.
That's brave.
And
you know any Bushwick Bill stories? That's brave.
Dude, I know. And so then, so Chappelle's like, yeah, come hang out. And so I went there, and his manager was like, who are you? And I was like, well, Chappelle said I could. And he's like, I don't. I was like, does Chappelle do this all the time? So finally, he's like, okay, yeah. And so I did it. And then, yeah, at the end, he's like, dude, it's good having you. And then the first night, Chappelle's like, hang out. So, like, after he got off stage, I went down there, bar, but it was only Chappelle. It was the director dude who was, like, the guy who produced Def Comedy Jam. And it was Lenny Kravitz. Lenny Kravitz and I were just looking at each other, and I was like, dude, this ain't my scene. So, like, after that, I did the shows, and then I would just leave, you know, because I was like, it's all these eight. And I was like, I've not ever been, like, a Hollywood guy, but it was cool. And then, at the end of it was, like,
I got to hang out with them one time just in Ohio, but I'm not even a waste of time with the story because yours is way better.
Yeah.
But I always say this about they always say you don't want to meet your heroes, but in this business, the bigger the comic, the cooler fucking dude.
Usually,
Chappelle, Rogan, Brian Regan, Attell, anybody that I really like has been, and I got to meet Attell too, but then we were just talking one time, but he was just talking to me, you know, and when they brought me over to him, he's like, hey, man, I'm Dave. Are you Sarah's guy? And I was like, I'm trying not to drool on your shoes. I know who the fuck, you're Dave Chappelle.
That's the guy, when I used to work the door, Attell would come in. I was like, that was the guy who was like, I'm really nervous. Like, I'd be like, hey, Dave. He's like, oh, hey, what's going on? And I'm like, and I couldn't talk because I was like, I hold him up on such a fucking pedestal.
Well, he came here like 2 or 3 years ago, and I would sell my book at shows, and then I was featuring for him, and then he would bring me out on stage, and then he would buy my book every single show, make me take
$20. Dude, that's...
Then he would sign, and then he'd sign it. Then he'd roast the shit out of me. Different jokes every single show. I look the same every single show. Just destroy me, the biggest badge of honor. And then he would give my book to someone in the crowd. And then I'd go out to the crowd, and I sold every single book every single night because of him.
Dude, he's the best. Just the
fucking nicest. One time, another time, we were in Vegas, and the first time I met him. And you know, in comedy, this my friend Julie Seabaugh was like, she goes, you know, Dave, Brant, Dave. And he was like, hey, how are you? And I'm like, you don't know who I am. It's so sweet of you. And then we had to go to a club. We were going up to a club. And then it was like right when he went sober. It was like 10 days sober, maybe, because I was like, I just want to do a Jaeger shot with Attell. This is my dream. And then we went up to this club. He was playing the House of Blues in Vegas. We went up to their club upstairs, and he had a hat on, and I had a hat on. And they're like, hey, you guys can't come in the club. And his manager, who they never do this, but I loved it, he was like, he just fucking sold out the club downstairs. And they're like, oh, okay, you guys come in.
I love that. That's, like,
That's what I know. I'm becoming famous when I come in somewhere when there's a dress code, and they're like, oh, that doesn't apply to you guys.
That's
not me. It's just who they're with. You know,
I like when it's attached to the establishment, too, where you're like, dude, this place exists because of this place down here.
Jim Jeffries did it one time, too, in Vegas. He was playing like the big room at the Mirage, and we were all fucked up. And he's like, let's go to this club. And then we walked up there, and they're like, is he coming off? What's his time? Do you know?
I think he's
okay.
Okay. Cool.
I'll take a beer, please. Thank you. And then he went up, and you know, five dudes trying to get in a club. It was like five comedians,
especially in Vegas.
And they're like, you guys, what are you doing? Because you know, Jimmy just walked to the front of the line.
He just looks like a regular
and
dude.
And they were like, they were just like, what are you doing? And then I'm not going to butcher an Australian accent, but he's just like, hey, look at this poster. And they're like, oh, shit, my bad. Here you go. Walk us right in. And I'm like the entourage guy in the back. Like, yeah, fucking let us in.
Yeah. Dude, I was with Ari once, and like, I forget where, they wouldn't let us something. And then as he's like walking out, some guy's like, holy shit, Ari Shaffir. And they're like, no way. And then the other guy's like, wait, who are you? He's like, I'm just a comedian.
Well, one time I got to go to UFC, and Joe left tickets. I was with Doug Benson. And then Joe's like, so nice. After the show, he's like, hey, we're going to dinner if you guys want to go to dinner. But he's like, when I walk out of here, I just put my head down and I go. So if you can follow me, if you make it to the restaurant, you're in. You can eat. And then But if you don't, man, hey, hope you had a good time. And I was like, all right. But then that's the thing, too. Whenever I go eat with rich and famous people, they always are going to pay usually.
Yeah.
But I still am always like.
I always offer.
What if they don't fucking.
But then, but yes, I can't yes. afford it. There's like, that thing. Like, yeah, yeah.
I'm dude. Like, oh, fuck, man. This is like an expensive ass place. And then I'm like, I don't want to order chicken fingers at the fucking steakhouse. But
I'm with
if this
you,
bill
man.
Comes out, what am I going to do?
Dude, I went with like Bert and Ari and some other. And they're like, we want to go here. And I go, I'm just going to let you know right now. I can't. And then they play the credit card game where everyone puts, and I go, dude, I can't play this game. Yeah. Like, this is not a game. So
I steal one. You know what I do? That's what I would say. If they do the credit card game, everyone puts one in their hat. I just you reach take it, one. I steal. And then I that's what you should do. Then you blackmail them on the way. You say, hey, Bert, man, I got your credit card. You can have it back for $200.
Those fucking guys. No. I mean, it's like, dude, yeah, man, you got it. But the thing is, you're like, I hope they know this. And I think they do. But like, you also don't want to be the guy who's like, because I was there and they're like, dude, just get what you want.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, fine. But you're still, like, there, you're still like, I'd rather
yeah,
just
so you
go.
Get a phone call and then the bill comes out or something.
And I was like, let's just go eat where you fucking. Dude, the one last thing. I went to one of those Rogan. Ari called me and I just broke my foot skiing. Uh-huh. I was in LA. He's in Vegas. He goes, if you can get here, I've got a ticket for you. So I drove to fucking Vegas and I had crutches. So they like bring me down through like this elevator and I walk out through. And when I had to use the bathroom, I used the bathrooms by the fighter's locker room. So I was in there. And I was like, I'm pissing next to Anthony Pettis. And when I come out, Overeem was fighting and he's doing his walkout. And the lady's like, just stay like 10 feet behind. Right. Oh, so there's a video of me and I'm on crutches walking out with Overeem behind. And I was like, this is fucking
that
hilarious.
Is awesome. Is he going to keep going? He's probably finished.
Let's wrap it up so we don't.
Up?
Yeah. Right. He's like, you guys just keep going as long as you want. Okay, but I think cool. This is,
cool. Wrap it up. Do we say anything?
Thanks.
Thanks, Ari.
More plugs? Check out Beach Cops on Patreon. Check out the Danish and O'Neill podcast.
Yeah, go buy my book, Free Roll. Available anywhere.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
And Ryan O'Neill Comedy on Instagram.
Brant Tobler on Instagram. Or anywhere. I forgot these cameras were even on.
I know.
I'm fucking putting gummy bears in my beers and shit.
All right. I'll shut these off. He taught me how.
All right. Perfect.
Cool.
I'll go close the show.
Good talking to you, man. And good meeting you this weekend.
That was the episode, everybody. Since the introduction, I did some research. Found out I was a bit wrong on what's causing the Ukrainian situation. I'd like to apologize. I'm sorry to the people who were most affected by this. I've seen protests in the streets of New York. The yellow and blue flag. Only two colors because that's Ukraine is a poor country and that's all they can afford. And I've become aware of the suffering that's happening with the Ukrainian people. And it was wrong of me to say it was because of the men's aerial freestyle skiing competition in Beijing, China at the Olympics. It was taking lightly what is a very serious situation just because I hadn't read the news doesn't mean I had the right to make light of it. And anyway, I've talked to some protesters and what was going on was borscht. The Russians believe they invented borscht. And the Ukrainians were saying that they invented borscht. Most Americans are saying, who even cares? It's one of the blandest soups in the world. You literally put sour cream. It's cold. It's not tasty in any way, but these are the things that matters. To Voldemort, and above all, I would like to say that Russia, if you continue after Ukraine taking over country, taking down and hacking our defense system, sending ground troops in here to a country that's been befuddled by hackers, people turn on each other all the time. It would be the best time to invade, and if you do, and if you need a someone to assist you on the ground, I can do that. Russia, I have access to many comedians. I know who they are. I can get the word out, saying not to badmouth Voldemort. I can be a valued asset to you is what I'm saying. Russia, I believe in your dominance. I believe you will be victorious in the end. And I'm Ari Shaffir. This is Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast. I believe it can be an outlet for you to get the word out on certain things. It would help my ratings if I had direct contact to the Kremlin and was able to get words out for them. Propaganda, perhaps, what's it called? When you herding in prisoners, I can help that. When to report. I assume the trains will start running again, whether for Jews or just dissidents in general. I'd be willing to help in any way I can, is my point. So I think you know I'm serious. Russia, I hope you get the USSR back and don't do the silly Russia thing. We all know you're stronger than that. And for Brent Tobler and Ryan O'Neill, I'm saying don't forget to check out my Patreon with Ryan O'Neill's on there, patreon.com/AriShaffir. Don't forget to subscribe. And for both those guys, let's say this has been Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast, episode 460. The Denver Chronicles. Dos Vidanya. And however you say bye in Russian, I will learn that in many more, words with Duolingo or just through general torture techniques of learning languages through use the onset torture I found to be the best for learning in quick situations. Again, I'm Ari Shaffir. And